bandwidth for the Weird Things podcast provided by Wired Tree. For sites of any size and world-class customer service, head on over to WiredTree.com.
Hello and welcome to After Things. I'm Andrew Main, joined by Brian Brushwood.
Hello, beautiful people.
Mr. Bryce Castillo.
Hi. That's what Star Wars is, right?
Yeah, no, that's exactly what it is. It's Michael Winslow's greatest movie.
And Justin Robert Young.
Yo!
So, gentlemen, any major events that affected the lives of these man children here?
Any end to a 40-year journey that happened for any of us?
Was it?
Not really.
Oh, no. Look, they did it. They tied it all together. Those masterful bastards. They somehow.
Was anybody asking for this to wrap up everything?
It was
from every movie.
It was all. I was the kindest I can be. And there's a lot of good reasons to fuss. And I'm sure we're about to fuss. But it's a difficult. If they had just ended the current trilogy, I think we would have had a fine, completed puzzle. But instead, somebody walked onto a desk, poured out 70% of a jigsaw puzzle, three Uno cards, a broken Rubik's Cube, and said, act like all of this is one puzzle, and with a straight face, be able to tell me that you solved it. We'll see in a bit.
I'm going to do a disclaimer first. Number one, folks, spoilers. I can't imagine what spoiler would possibly ruin your enjoyment of Rise of Skywalker, but anyway, we'll say spoilers. If you like the movie, good.
Great.
Good. Yes. We want people to enjoy this. We want people to like the movie. You know, if you like this, we're not going to go, oh, how dare you? We're going to dissect it in our own way and sort of our own, in our own thing. So do not feel offended or whatever. If our take on this, and I don't know what everybody else's take is different. If you enjoy the movie, there are movies that I love that other people can, I could point out why they're kind of garbage. And I love them for reasons besides that. And if you love this movie, that's good. I think that's good. And I've tried rewatching some movies to get myself to that point until I get Stockholm syndrome with stuff. I've tried that with Rise and other movies. I go back and watch again, and I realize I'm not on team Last Jedi anymore either. I mean, I could go into everything that does good, this does horribly. Everything this does good, that did horribly. I mean, but anyhow, if you enjoy Rise of Skywalker, please, 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 we're not questioning anybody's taste or judgment. God forbid, because my own would be the first one that should be suspect.
Let me just say this. When I was a kid, my favorite Star Wars movie was Return of the Jedi.
Yeah.
It was the one that was released closest to it. And then I got to be a teenager and some of my favorite movies. I got into the independent boom of the 90s, and I loved Clerks, and I had to watch characters in this new movie that I love so much that I felt spoke to me and my generation. Trash Return of the Jedi. Needling on Star Wars is older than the internet and will continue to be a bedrock of it. I am rejecting this idea that we are politically aligned by the Star Wars movies that we like and whether or not they are personality defining elements to us. If that's where you are, God bless. But I'm just here to talk about the Star Wars movie. Criticizing them and nitpicking them is just a part of my culture, much like The Mandalorian, where weapons are my religion. Criticizing Star Wars is my religion. Please, I cede the floor to Brian.
But before we dive in, though, you mentioned Stockholm Syndrome, which, just real quick aside, I made the kids watch Die Hard, and I watched Die Hard again. You know, it's a bit of a ritual. How did I go this many times and not notice that they miscall Stockholm Syndrome? They don't call it Stockholm Syndrome. They call it Helsinki syndrome, which is not a thing. And they say, like, oh, maybe this is a different syndrome. But then they go on to exactly describe Stockholm syndrome. And in fact, if you do a search for Helsinki syndrome, it will forward you to Stockholm Syndrome and talk about how, for whatever reason, they just didn't want to call Stockholm Syndrome Stockholm Syndrome on Die Hard, and they called it Helsinki Syndrome. I had no idea. Am I the last one to the dance on this, or had you guys noticed this?
I never knew that. Never knew that.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
All right. So anyway, let's tear apart this movie.
I have a question because I'm the newest person to Star Wars. I had not seen any of the original trilogies. And I walked out of The Rise of Skywalker. I thought Force Awakens was okay. I really liked The Last Jedi. And I think I even asked you this, Justin, when I got out of the movie. Are there any good Star Wars movies? Are Star Wars movies good?
All right, Bryce, get out.
By the numbers, I'm sorry, gentlemen. Your Honor, if I can have your attention, my client, I believe what he meant to say is, look at the numbers as a percentage. Thumbs up, thumbs down. I do believe good Star Wars movies are in the minority of the canonical nine.
That's just what I'm getting at, because I know that the original trilogy is beloved. I know that the prequel trilogy is kind of panned, and I know this current sequel trilogy is a mixed bag, but is the original trilogy something prestigious, or
are two and a half great Star Wars movies?
Okay,
maybe two and three quarters. Star Wars, Empire, and most Jedi gets ripped on, but Jedi gave us wonderful things like the big fat Jabba the Hutt alien gangster. It gave us speeder bikes. It gave us so many cool moments. You know, that like Jedi is like, I will agree that there are some elements that sort of are disappointing in Jedi to a degree from older eyes, but
The only thing I can ding on, even the idea of the Ewoks is a good idea. It's just that the Ewoks are a little bit cuddlier than they ought to be. And, a second Death Star is a little bit retready. Those are really the only two things you can ding on. The redemption arc of Vader, I thought was great.
I mean, people rip the brother-sister thing Lucas needed another big reveal after the Luke Skywalker father thing was such a gigantic element of Empire. But look, criticize Jedi, that's fine. I'm here for it. I just want to take this moment to say about Rise of Skywalker. What?
I'm so with you. Sentiment begins with the first three words of the crawl. The dead speak. There was trouble the moment you walked into that theater.
When did Palpatine... I watched the sequel trilogy. Where the hell was he?
I've had a podcast for many months already.
No, stop it. This is the first thing...
And another thing about Alderaan. Let me tell you.
The first thing that Brian told me was, after he saw the movie, was that the opening words of the trilogy, or of The Rise of Skywalker crawl, should be, Bill O'Reilly has a podcast.
You thought I was hashtag canceled, but here I am, brought to you by Purple Mattresses.
And then imagine now it's Tucker Carlson getting the Wayfinder and cutting his way to Bill O'Reilly's Swamp Island. the movie was for me, and I did not have high expectations for it. I thought it was just going to be perfunctory. It subverted my expectations. It was not perfunctory. It was very loud and very weird, but it was just a large sequence of me just saying, like, wait, what?
So my frustration, and again, one of my frustrations comes from storytelling. Which direction a director goes in, that doesn't bother me as long as it makes sense and it's smart. And I enjoyed kind of Last Jedi mostly the first time through, because I'm like, oh, cool, it's not following the path of what we expect is going to happen. But then I watch it again, like, no, he just did opposite guy on every single thing, to the point that the characters did, if you go back and watch Last Jedi, like, they do stupid stuff. Like, Rise of Skywalker should have started with like Finn and Rose being tried for effing crimes against the Resistance, because like they literally told the whole plans to, you know, Empire and Force, you know, First Order age. I mean, you just start analyzing, you're like, oh my God, everybody just acted stupid in that. Here, my frustration is, what about the, you know, Palpatine? It's great. As people pointed out, it's actually Dark Empire, the comic book, brought back Palpatine, which is was a great storyline. I love Dark Empire, right? Fine. Just make that, start that from movie number one with Force Awakens. Have that be the direction you're going. Don't try to gaslight us in this movie into telling us literally in the worst villain monologue explaining everything ever. Like, you see what I did was, you know, here's a clone tank with Snoke. You didn't believe me? Here he is, because I keep them laying around. It's just
he's got build-a-Snokes. He's like, just
in case I needed to build another.
I mean, to be honest, look, it's easy for us to armchair quarterback, and we don't know what kind of influences people were working under or what directives or initiatives or whatever. But it's like, if what you want is a visual of Palpatine back from the grave, then just tell me, hey, I am all of Sith. I take whatever face I want. My faces are Legion. I'm going to wear this one right now. It happens to look like Palpatine. But to have it, I don't know, but to have it actually be Palpatine.
Like, if you're going to bring him back, they have to bring him back physically, and he has to be Palpatine, because we find out that the heroine of our entire trilogy is indeed the granddaughter of Sheev Palpatine. Sheev confirmed sex haver Palpatine.
Yeah, I listen, like, my I kept turning to my girlfriend throughout the movie. I'm like, wait, the what? And like my Star Destroyers that I buried. I'm like, wait, what? Who built these? I remember, like, it took everything to build, you know, a Death Star, and now you've got all this, and then we're watching the end with,
there are crews on these Death Stars of what appeared to be humans that they hand-wavingly mentioned. By the way, we love kidnapping babies because we need somebody to crew our stuff, in which case, I'm just pitying these poor beings. They're like, I don't want to hate, don't blow them up. These are children who were kidnapped.
And then I'm like, when they're the final battle, there's a whole arena filled with people in hoods, and I'm like, this is like Harry Potter. They just, like, who are these people?
Were they waiting there the whole time?
Our whole movie was about trying to find the secret planet, and like, there's an arena full of people here, and all the First Order people showed up. Who are they? I'm like, they're dying. I'm like, who are these people that are getting killed by the collapse? I'm like, they're Sith loyalists.
And we haven't this is all background storytelling stuff. We haven't even gotten to the fact that even just when it comes to direction, what you want are anchors and things to care about. And this movie didn't have the testicles to give us one damn thing. We blew up Chewie. I'm like, oh, wow. Maybe this movie does have some balls.
Right.
Psych. No, we don't. Like,
it was somehow a different ship?
Wait,
they saw it!
Are you going to kill C-3PO? Well, we might not kill him, but what if he forgot his friends? Wouldn't that be kind of a bummer? How about we just restore that a few seconds later?
Here's an example of what my frustration is like. Right now in the chat, people are going, oh, no, they're ghosts. They're ghosts. No, we've been told, if you read the interview, we were told that they are Sith loyalists. Yeah, you wouldn't know that from the movie.
No, Luke is a ghost, my understanding.
What's that?
Luke is a ghost, and he just gives her all sorts of ghost gifts. Now we're just giving ghost gifts.
You have to have a writer go, oh, no, they're Sith loyalists. They're actually like what? No, those are real people? Oh, yeah, that's the explanation that's been given outside of by the writer.
Yes, it turns out many people listen to my podcast. I am second only to Joe Rogan. My loyalists are going to join me in my secret clubhouse.
Can't even agree that the 50,000 people watching were real people are ghosts. I mean,
audible.com brings you the finest in audio entertainment while you're washing the dishes.
Not to mention, what's the plan?
Well, as you know, caller, on line two. As you know, money is made when you blow up planets. That's how economies work. The more planets you blow up, the more evil credits you get. Therefore, I have made a bazillion D blowy up planets things.
I can explain to you the plan very easily because it's a J.J. Abrams movie.
Yeah.
There is a super weapon. In order to stop the super weapon, you have to get the what's it, which leads you to the who's it, and then you get the super weapon, which would be all the Star Trek movies and would be all of his Star Wars movies.
But also,
I'm glad one color gets it.
What is Palpatine's? Because Palpatine creates Snoke so he can seduce Ben Solo to the dark side, but he doesn't really want Ben Solo to be his apprentice. He really wants him to try and kill Rey, but not kill Rey, but then bring Rey. But then he wants Rey to kill him, but then doesn't want...
But then he doesn't want that because then they both could kill him. And if they both do that, then the Constitution says that it's got to go to the Senate.
But then he realizes that he is a Dementor and he can just take their life force with his Harry Potter powers. And then I genuinely don't know what his
first of all, to seduce Ben Solo, all you need is like a Morrissey mixtape and $100 Hot Topic gift card. Done.
Okay. Also, speaking of seducing Ben, what is it that Leia does? Like, when they have the big fight, she just goes, "I die now," and he's like, "I'm good now." Like,
yeah. Hey, Bryce. I'm sorry to break this to you. The actor died in production.
I know that.
And they kind of had to adjust to that reality.
But he should have been like, "Oh, my mom. Now I'm a good." It should have been something. It should have been something instead of nothing.
Yeah. The cut version was, well, I walked in on my mom and my uncle making out.
Yeah. Boy, I mean, I understand that they were dealt a really rough hand with Carrie Fisher dying, and this was from the very beginning. If there's one thing that we know for sure Disney had planned and that did survive the creative changing of the guard, is that Han was the first movie, Luke was the second movie, Leia was the third movie, and then Leia died before the production of the third movie. So, okay, if that's what seems to be the only thread that made it through all three films, I get it. You built up to this idea. She has to be a part of it. And the closest you could get is having Carrie Fisher standing in that same way she's standing and like kind of moving her around like a Carrie Fisher chess piece from one set to another, where she's standing the exact same way and talking.
That was awful.
It was
just always this pose, the hands crossed like this. I would have preferred that we started with like, "Hey, General Leia died in between two and three."
You had to go back to your own planet. Nine.
What's that?
Yeah, no, I mean, I'm with you. Like, because also, hey, look. By the way, it's not like you didn't do it. You already made another Hux. You made another Hux for no reason. These are all things that the Hux could have done, but no, you had to make Hux the spy so he could get shot 5 seconds later. But they have one character that just obviously is a stand-in for another character. You already have Carrie Fisher's daughter in the movie. She's there. Just
part of the Hux thing was because Last Jedi made Hux, it made the First Order a Benny Hill sketch. And Hux was no threat. One of the most important leaders of the First Order became a complete joke and it lost its threat. So I get the idea that it's like Johnson's trying to course correct for what Abrams did in Force Awakens.
Yeah.
And then Abrams trying to course correct for what Johnson did. And you have three stories that go in completely different directions. There is no unified theme through them all, at least with the original trilogy. It was, you knew it would be over when the Emperor was dead. You know, we know the beginning, bad guys in charge of the Empire. We got to get him. We don't even see him in Star Wars, more aware of him in Empire and then, you know, Jedi. Here, it's like, got to stop the First Order.
Did you guys notice that? Not that we're going to spoilery talk about The Mandalorian, but did you notice that this is the one deviation on the schedule that The Mandalorian did. It's always been released on Fridays, except for the day before this movie.
Week.
Do you think that's because on The Mandalorian they showed a use of the Force that we hadn't seen before and then saw used a lot in this movie?
What was that?
The Force healing, basically.
Oh, okay.
Like that was a plot point in The Mandalorian.
Oh, weird.
Yeah, but they we knew that was coming before because the Baby Yoda original. I think it was not because of that at all. I think it was money wise. Was they literally wanted the conversation to be, you know, about Rise of Skywalker, is not to have an overlapping people on Friday staying home to watch Mandalorian.
Hmm. Yeah, no, I think it was just them adjusting the schedule last minute to make sure that.
Brian, I wish they cared as much as about story as that. I wish they cared about something like that.
Oh my God.
Brian's version of Lucasfilm, tell me more.
I mean, to be honest, the biggest thing about Rise of Skywalker is that it beat me to the point where I didn't care. Yeah. I was just like, by halfway through, I'm like, I don't even know what's happening. I don't know who these people are. They don't really feel like even the threads of the characters that I liked from the first couple movies. Poe and Finn, it seems like the movie spends more time trying to convince us that they're not going to bang each other than really giving them anything to do.
But even then, it definitely ends almost too deliberately on a three-way hug between Rey and Finn and Poe. Like, yeah, each other the right amount.
Why did she kiss Ben?
Went out of their way in the third, in this one, with the no homo bro girlfriends or girls. Like, you know, like they get split off to hang out with other women, just so you know.
Exactly. Yeah. No. Yeah. Remember when they had to dress Felicity like the Rocketeer to distract from the gay heat being generated by the two male leads?
It's like, I made me even more like, maybe there really is a thing because they're trying really hard to, like, you know, like my biggest complaint about this trilogy is this, and I've said this before, I say it again, is Harry Potter is about three people who knew each other and spent time together and explored a magical world. The original Star Wars trilogy, three people with their friends come together in Star Wars, and we watch their journey throughout. I'm like, oh, they're not always together in Empire. Right. They get separated, but they try to find their way back to each other to help them out. Jedi begins with them trying to save Han. It's so tight. Star Trek, Kirk, Spock, okay, McCoy, that core group and everybody else, those are the stories are about. It's three people exploring this amazing world. The best fantasy, the best sci-fi is almost always about that. The stuff that stays with us the longest, Lord of the Rings, same things. And I pointed this out because I did this on Twitter and I said this before. We only get Rey. This is the first movie where we've had Rey, Poe, and Finn together. They have never shared scenes together. The first time that Rey met Poe was at the end of Last Jedi in a brief scene, a very brief, hey, you're so-and-so. Okay, nice to meet you. That Colin Trevorrow, back when he was going to do this episode 9, had to ask to be put in there because he's like, man, I got to make a movie about three people, these three core characters who've never met each other. And so when people say Force Awakens is a copy of Star Wars, I'm like, no, like from a character point of view, it's absolutely not. It loses the most important element, which was these three people coming together over time. Now we get three characters, three iconic characters, but they don't have to know each other.
And on an individual level, none of the characters are allowed to do anything without their parents getting involved and saving the day, it seems like.
Yeah. Jedi, to me, the biggest storytelling and upending your sense of where things are going aside, to me, the biggest sin of The Last Jedi was how small everything felt. You want to feel like everything's scaling up. Star Wars was Star Wars. Force Awakens was roughly felt about the size of Star Wars, whereas Empire, the second movie, it felt much bigger. You're like, oh my God, this is a very, very big force or whatever. Whereas The Last Jedi did the reverse thing. We're looking at, you know, I don't know, five rebel ships and two Empire guys chasing them down. It felt small. And then it's like they overcompensated and went straight into nonsensical prequels territory where it's like, all the planets are in danger. All of the ships are there. And nobody's going to fight them until... Yeah. until Lando goes galaxy to galaxy offering his signature cackle. And and then they all will understand that they have to fight with their pitchforks.
We've got 16 hours to find this thing. It's about to destroy the galaxy. You guys go run off. We're going to hang out here on the Resistance base.
Also, not a great opening if you want my respect to be, what was it, light speed skipping? Yeah, you can't jump to light speed in a gravity well. Everybody knows that. That was even implied in the movies. You didn't even have to read any of the books for that. That's not a real thing.
That's also, there's just a lot of kind of, I don't even want to get into the fast and loose.
The Guardians of the Galaxy did the jumping thing, you know, from the spot to spot where the Watchers are there and all that. Remember?
They hadn't established, they weren't breaking an entire universe with established rules or whatever.
That was more rule breaking than the power of friendship saving the day.
Hold on.
By having two lightsabers.
Gambling man in the chat asking the real questions. I totally noticed that. What was that weird ass Lando scene? Was he hitting on that girl? Like, is he about to bang that chick, that weird stormtrooper, Finn's friend? Remember, Finn found a friend.
Yeah, Lady Finn with the horse. So Lady Finn with the horse, who has the exact same backstory as Finn, because, I mean, if it weren't for the fact that I really want politics and Star Wars to be separated, there's, I'm sure, a very long thing about why the only black characters have to have the exact same black story. But that also...
You're right, because that goes all the way back to the Kenner Toys commercials. You notice, like, everybody's playing with their toys, and the one kid who's playing with Lando, you got to have the black kid play with the Lando toy.
So Lando shows up, and he's Lando, and he's like, aha, I'm in Burning Man now. And then he goes, ha-ha, now I'm on the ship. Look at me. Ha-ha. And then he sits down, when literally the only character thing that we really know about Lando is that, like, he was hitting on Leia back in Empire, and he's kind of a playboy. And he sits down with this younger chick and is like, it's like, oh, so what's your backstory? Like, so what's your sign, little miss?
And by backstory, like, I mean, show me your backside.
I don't want to pick on anybody rude, but man, Donald Glover really let himself go.
He figured out an accent, though. He picked on one accent for this movie. I like
Last Jedi. My problem with Last Jedi was, like, with Last Jedi was everybody, I mean, Force Awakens, I want to get into that. Last Jedi was everybody did dumb things. You look at what they did, and it was all sort of dumb. It's like Holdo's put in charge. They don't tell Finn, you know, here, I'm not going to tell you what Poe, I'm not going to tell our ace pilot who saved our ass many times what the plan is, because, yeah, as we know from Star Wars, authority's most important thing of all. If we learned anything, Rogue One and Rebellions and Resistances, that authority is the most important thing. And then that was frustrating. I thought, at least in this movie, characters were smarter as they tried to navigate this very crazy, insane world where nothing made any sense. You know, but we do have that problem of, like, oh, the Holdo maneuver. Like, nobody ever, like, from Last Jedi, like, nobody ever thought about doing that before. Like, nobody ever thought, like, what if we ram one ship into another at this? And then here we get into everything changes again. You know, like, it's just
rule. As Bryce points out, much of the final say in this movie have come from interviews with the creators after the movie had been released. But
the writer of Batman versus Superman.
Yeah, apparently that was a scene to set up and might have been fleshed out further that Lando might have been her father.
Yeah.
The way that it was played, however, and considering that there is, like, this little wink, wink, nod, nod of, like, Lando saying, like, oh, so Princess Leia's single again, huh? Like, like that. So we've already reestablished in this movie that he's, like, here to fuck. That like, to have that happen again, I don't know what else the read is supposed to be in that moment.
In defense of Lando, I think that there's a 50-50 odd that if any random child he runs into in the universe could be his own.
I mean, sure. And I think that there's a way that you can do that. I don't.
It's also just, it's also sort of the trope that every black, all black people know each other.
Yeah.
That's, you know, that's a little like, it's not a very big universe after all. Oh.
If I weren't steadfastly and religiously trying to separate politics from Star Wars in our current, our social media climate, I would be very willing to indulge that line of conversation because I think that it's something that can be said.
All right. Also, wasn't it, I don't remember The Force Awakens very much. Isn't it? Isn't the whole thing about Finn being like an ex-stormtrooper and kind of breaking out of that system, wasn't that kind of meant to be like, oh, this is like a one in a million thing, this never happens, and then they go to a planet and everyone on that planet has that same backstory?
Yeah, the Smurf village.
Yeah. Maybe I'm misremembering that, but it did seem weird to be like, oh, so Finn just met a whole bunch of people who tell him he's not even special.
That's a legit point. Although I mean, in and you have not dived into Mandalorian, but Mandalorian takes place shortly after, I think, what, 5 years after Return of the Jedi. So there's a lot of, you know, people making hard decisions like, do I continue to throw my lot in with the increasingly decaying remains of the Empire, or do I run off and do other stuff?
So that
didn't really beef me. What did drive me a little crazy is when it decided to go on full on Tomb Raider with an ancient dagger that exactly predicted how the remains of a Death Star were going to land. And happened to have ancient runes on it that exactly lined up.
I went up and I had to use the restroom and I came back and I'm like, wait, what? We're trying to find a thing to find another thing. And it was just like, yeah, I'm like, wait, who put this thing? Like, it's literally like they just pulled scenes out and just inserted stuff to say, and I was my friend, we got to get to find the thing here to get to the thing there. And then once we have the thing, then we got to, guys, it's like a murder mystery. We got to find our way to the act three. We know what happens in act three.
Well, and that's, I think, the problem ultimately with having everything so disconnected from the First Order, which if there is one thread that no matter how abused the characters might have been, at least through both the movies, the previous movies, the First Order is your threat, right? Like, and I think that there's certainly legitimate complaints about Last Jedi to say that it was rendered not a threat enough and had to be beefed up. I think you could probably do that in the jump of time between whenever Last Jedi takes place and whenever Rise of Skywalker takes place, but they instead decide to include the Emperor and his swamp thing ships that he's been hiding in his swamp next to his lightning cube.
Just give me 1 second to wrap my mind around this. At least everybody in the First Order at least signed up and at some point decided that they wanted to be evil too. That entire
fleet. Well, the First Order does say that they kidnapped people also.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. And all of, okay, but everybody in every one of those ships on Mystery Planet podcast were babies that were kidnapped who were totally green and had never seen combat before.
Hold on. Wait. No, but that's the Finn backstory too, right?
Oh, yeah, because Finn was taken as a kid.
Like, all of a sudden...
Who's kidnapping babies and are there simultaneous baby kidnappings?
No, guys, let me get this. Let me clarify this for you, okay? Because you're just too dumb to understand the brilliance of this, all right?
Yeah.
The First Order, those people on the ships were First Order because Palpatine had these ships, but he didn't have crews. The First Order people show up, and that's who's there, because that's when the First Order becomes the Final Order. That's who was, those were the, it's one group of baby nappers, which is the First Order, and then he's like, we've arranged for the ships, because he's been controlling the First Order the whole time.
Yeah.
Reasons. And then that's who's on the ships, but we made such a mystery. Where is this secret planet that tens of thousands of First Order people are traveling to get on the ships, and hundreds of thousands of Sith loyalists are there, not to mention all the construction workers and the Corellians and everything.
Okay, it takes a lot to hide the largest fleet in the world, in the universe, that also have Star Destroyers on them. Isn't that weird?
No, dark force powers, Bryce. Dark force powers. Dark force.
Okay, but why is C-3PO still alive? And why did we introduce yet another droid voiced by J.J. Abrams that just speaks English words randomly?
Well, that's the emotion droid. So you know what emotion you're supposed to be feeling at any given time.
Most annoying character ever, which was the little droid fixer guy who,
Babu Frick.
Yeah. We've got a Brazilian soccer fan in here. Great. He shows up again. Shows up with Felicity. I'm like, why am I supposed to care? And I'm glad Felicity's getting time while, you know, poor Rose Tico, who should have been tried for war crimes, admittedly, along with Finn, is just sitting there doing nothing. Like, hey, we introduced a couple new characters. What about the ones you got?
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyhow.
Hey, so how about those headlines that are saying, by the way, that was Kathleen Kennedy's idea? By the way, just saying, woo.
I would have been great if that had happened at the start of Force Awakens and we felt like we had three movies that were part of the same trilogy. Well, I mean, I'm all for bringing back Palpatine. Fine. Just make that from the get-go.
I'm here for a good Palpatine cloning story. But isn't there the idea that that Palpatine in the Lightning Cube has been the Palpatine that's been there forever, and all the other Palpatines that we've ever known from the prequels on are clones of him?
I don't know.
Yeah, and I mean, I would have loved the idea of what if we started Force Awakens, it's Palpatine. No, it's actually he cloned himself, and it's not quite Palpatine. It's a clone of Palpatine, which is equally bad. Would have been cool, but different in a way. I'd be all great.
I'm here for it. You can do it. I think the big thing is, and ultimately the one thing that can unite all of us is that obviously there was no plan. Like anybody who wants to connect these dots, you're connecting the dots via headcanon because there was no plan. There was no larger story to be told. It was a lot of
Nixon stuff.
Yeah, that happened kind of going on the way, including the idea. And this is my last big nitpick before we get into the larger meta story. The idea that Rey has to be a Palpatine because these are the two great houses that have gone back and forth in this 9-movie saga, which bothers me on a fundamental level because one of these houses just kind of got started a few years ago and the other is just kind of a guy. Like it's not a house. We didn't never know Palpatine's dad. We never Palpatine never sat down with Anakin in the prequels and be like, boy, was my father a real slave driver making me read all these Sith manuals. He always wanted me to be the best Sith I could be. And I really made him proud when I struck him down with all my anger. Like, this is family's important family values for the Palpatines.
Or, if it's the clone story, it's like, hey, Shiv, I notice it's parent. Teach it's bring your parent to school day. You're by yourself.
No reasons. Also, by the way, if Palpatine is immortal, then when Shmi Skywalker suddenly became pregnant without a father, then I think we can guess who shoved those midichlorians in her.
That's comic book. There's a comic book thing about that it was indeed Palpatine that got her pregnant.
Great. So that means we got another passionate, incestuous kiss. Da 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 da. Weird.
Where can I buy a turkey baster on Tatooine?
Because that would make Ben Solo her cousin. If both of their grandparents, it would make Palpatine the great grandfather of Ben Solo and the grandfather of Rey.
I want the whole scenes with Palpatine and his son. Like, you're a disappointment to me.
Yeah, I don't want any of this.
Play guitar,
But what I want,
that Wookiee drummer of yours, you're gonna go nowhere with this band.
What I want is to watch Star Wars on TV with small stories told well, which is why this week my pick is The Mandalorian, the best and only Star Wars property from 2019.
I've been told under good authority that Star Wars is a thing that happened. You can't relive it back. You'll never enjoy it the way you did before because we're grown up. I've been told it's a fact that you can't, Star Wars is sort of done. You can't relive that. You can't have good Star Wars anymore because you've changed.
Well, I would like to introduce you to a little show called The Mandalorian. It's right, me, Emperor Palpatine, doing an ad read. I have to pay the bills for my podcast.
It's Disney Plus with Hulu and ESPN Plus. Now, I won great prize.
Mandalorian's the future. It's all I want to watch.
I'm glad because it's a big shut up to the whole like, oh, it's a kid's thing. You're expecting this thing to make you enjoy it like you did. I'm like, no, we just want good storytelling that consistently through characters making the best decisions they're capable of, a universe that's sort of consistent, you know, and a through line. Just give me, that's all I've ever wanted out of Star Wars. It's writing 101.
Yeah.
And Mandalorian did that.
Look, Mandalorian is refreshing. And I would say the second episode was probably the best of the series for me. But it was excellent. It was everything that I wanted Star Wars to ever be. It's just a simple story with those elements mixed into it and a compelling and interesting cast. They did a very credible job. I think that they ended the season strong in tying everything together. I'm pumped to see where it goes from here, but oh my god, it just is such a departure to see, even when it stumbles, to understand like, oh okay, they're learning. They went in a direction that I wasn't in love with, but guess what, they came back and did another episode that I liked. And you know, whether or not it's great or bad from here, at least I know it's possible.
Yeah, I J.C. Calhoun, you said it there. It's fine, and some people are like, I love some episodes. Some episodes I think are cringy. You know, are just some of them I think are very poorly written and not really well done. Some of them I thought were great. You know, and overall, it's TV, and my expectations are different. But there have been that second episode I thought was fantastic, and it's been. I got to the end of it. I'm like, yeah, I would have liked this, but I'm like, I'm watching a Star Wars TV show, and And I've enjoyed it thoroughly. And the idea that it's fine. Like, yeah, it's fine. It's fine. I wish I could say that about the movies. I can't, because the things that frustrate me about the movies are characters making not the best decisions, plotting that goes back and forth, and just you're so confusing and stuff. Here, if some of it's, yeah, scenes go on too long, some things are kind of cringy, and sometimes the editing could be a little bit better, and maybe I don't understand the context, but there's thought. Thought went into this.
So, where do we see the future of Star Wars movies?
Oh, you know what?
Do you think that Rian Johnson trilogy happens?
No. No.
What about the Benny Hop and Weiss one?
That was canceled.
Yeah, no, that was a joke. Here's what I think we do is we build out the back catalog. We see an increasing number of TV shows that increasingly draw on the best parts of the expanded universe novels. We probably get dude with the red eyes.
Thrawn?
Thrawn, yeah, some kind of Thrawn series or whatever. And then, like, how great will it be 5 years from now when we can excitedly say, holy crap, can you believe it? They're going to make a movie out of Star Wars. You know, basically, they learn that everything shifts and they adopt the Star Trek role. So they become TV shows and let Star Trek be major media events. We're going to be TV shows telling good stories. And then when we have a new cast of characters, we're going to elevate them to the big screen.
My issue is like, just bring in good storytellers and you can do whatever you want. That's when people say a franchise should take a break or whatever. I was like, that's not the problem. Isn't the material or isn't the base material. It's who's telling the stories. Marvel didn't need to take a break because there were bad Marvel movies out there. Marvel needed to get its act together to make better movies. And we've had this amazing run of Marvel Studios. With Star Wars is if you told me tomorrow that, like, hey, you know what we realized? We need a great storyteller slash producer, not just a great producer, but a storyteller slash producer to oversee this thing. Peter Jackson signed on board or something. I'd be excited, you know?
Yeah.
You know, I would be, okay, cool, you know, because he's not Hobbit Peter Jackson. But I just want a great storyteller to come in there and take it over, and I could be very excited and to give it their attention. Part of the problem is that in film, you get showrunners who have had, like, really good track records, and they get brought on, but then they have too many projects at once. I was worried about J.J. Abrams of this because J.J. Abrams is running a whole empire, so I knew we weren't going to get 100% of J.J. Abrams on this. You know, we're going to get J.J. Abrams managing J.J., you know, Bad Robot and everything else, which is different than, you know, a good, solid filmmaker, showrunner, whatever, 100%. So I'm looking forward to, you know, Deborah Chow. Her episodes haven't been my favorite, but they haven't been the bad ones. And, you know, what she's done on Mandalorian. So she's doing the Obi-Wan series. I'm looking forward to that. I like David Filoni as a person, but his episodes have been far, far the weakest for me on Mandalorian. So he's not exactly somebody I'd want to see running, you know, a bigger part of it at this point.
Let me just say, I understand that these cartoons got a real following to them. And that's fine. If things make sense, bring them into these other elements of Star Wars. But, like, don't come at me with 7 episodes of Rebels and Clone Wars that I need to watch so I can understand what is in Giancarlo Esposito's hand. Like, I just make the things make sense. I was fine that he had a crazy sword. Let's just tell me the story about the crazy sword instead of acting like we all understand what's happening.
I just assumed as a player of Knights of the Old Republic that it was just a vibroblade, that which is sort of like a middle ground between, not quite a lightsaber, but
I just thought it was like, it was the Star Wars version of the Jaws of Life. It's like, just in case your TIE fighter crashes here, kooky sword to cut your ass out.
Yeah. I think... but you know what I liked about, like, I'd heard, you know, there was sort of some of the backstory in the Darksaber. I'm like, oh, cool. We don't know. That's fine. We'll find out. I don't need to know what it is. Cool.
I was fine with it. I'm just saying to the cartoon people.
Yeah. You know, Brian, we had the vibroblade in there. Remember in one of the episodes, one of the Mandalorians pulled the vibroblade on the Mando.
Oh,
there's a scene. I did notice the first time I adjusted my setting because they have the fake HDR on it.
Yep.
And if you turn off that fake HDR and go to regular video, you see the blade going zzz, vibrating.
Oh, right on. Very cool.
So it's, and that's, I love those little details like that where you don't have to pay super attention to it, whatever. So, I think just bring in some great filmmakers. I think that we're going to see the fact that they took all of the movies underneath Kathleen Kennedy away right now kind of tells you that they're looking to go in a different direction with Star Wars.
I think that's my big question. Do we see another Star Wars movie that's produced by Kathleen Kennedy?
No. We see Kathleen Kennedy in the background working on some stuff until 2 years from now. She announces that she's so excited to leave Disney for the project that she really has been wanting to do.
We see Kathleen Kennedy making whatever she wants. At the pizza buffet. Hooray!
Well, I mean, so we don't know, and I know nobody here, we're just joking. We don't know what goes on behind the scenes in Disney and how things are done, because she's got to please, I think, Alan Horn, Bob Iger, all these people do this, whatever. She could have the best laid out plans for how these things are going to go. Ultimately, those decisions were decided on by Bob Iger. Bob Iger approved every single script, everything. I think Bob Iger's an amazing, talented guy, but I don't want to say, oh, she's the reason for my frustration, which some fans are starting to do now. And we I can't imagine what it's like to get a movie made there. Every decision has been approved by Iger and stuff. The firings of the majority of the directors from the Star Wars films, which is kind of nerve-wracking. That wasn't her acting alone. This was doing something that with, you know, Iger, et cetera, saying, yes, this is what we need to do. So I can't imagine what her position is like. I have no idea what it's like, because it's not like she gets to say, all right, I'm going to put this thing together and make this thing work. She did her best with, like, hey, I'm going to reach out to J.J. Abrams, who at the time was a super fan favorite and seemed like a great lock to, you know, direct Force Awakens to launch it and whatnot, bringing in the directing pool that she did. Every one of those guys she wanted to bring on board were super talented
people. Top names.
So I don't know, but I do know, but it is like, yeah, they've canceled all the Star Wars films. So as far as what's happening next, Brian, you're probably 100% right.
Yeah, well, and also there are some tea leaves to be read that during the Sony Marvel negotiations for Spider-Man, that there was like some there were comments by Sony about, well, Kevin Feige and his new roles that he's going to be taking on, he's going to be too busy with his new roles. And a lot of people read that to be like, oh, X-Men, Fantastic Four. But, you know, now he's attached to a Star Wars movie. So we don't know exactly how much, you know, whether or not he is somebody that would be involved going further from an organizational perspective. But also, I mean, hell, Benioff and Weiss were people that I know I've had conversations with Andrew about, like, you know, back maybe in season 5 and 6 of Game of Thrones, we're like, hey, look, two guys that understand what it means to have a constantly running multi-nation machine that is churning out high-quality content. You could look at worse people than those guys for managers.
I want to give a little sort of insight to some of our listeners just to understand that, like, you have a show, you have showrunners or people who start a show, and as a showrunner, you're generally the head writer. Sometimes you direct, but you bring in the directors. In TV, the showrunner kind of has all the power. It's like a director of a film who also has part producer. Showrunners have a tremendous amount of power. And what happens in the life of a showrunner is you start off as writers for years, maybe writing other shows. Finally, you get something picked up that becomes a series. You're in position to be showrunner, and you're in charge of this thing. And your life, those first couple seasons, is making that show the best thing that can happen. And if that show takes off, what happens then is you become popular and everybody wants to work with you. And then you get opportunities to make deals all over the town. And then you, as a showrunner, you had one show you're in charge of. Now you're pitching dozens of shows, and maybe you're show running 3 or 4 other projects. Your attention is divided amongst everything else. And what happens then is the showrunner we want may not be the showrunner we get. With Benioff and Weiss, they were supposed to go from Game of Thrones to the whole Confederate States thing with HBO. That didn't happen, but then they made their super big, like, Netflix mega deal. And then at that point, it's like, are these guys the best ones to do Star Wars? Well, no, not if they're not day-to-day doing it.
Yeah.
You know, and that's the thing that happens a lot with showrunners is you go, I love this guy. If they were doing this 100% of their time, it would be awesome. But, you know, the Russo brothers, you know, those guys, look what they've done. And now they're in charge of a ton of things. You know, will we get another Marvel movie out of them? I don't know.
All right. Well, is there any clean way to wrap this up?
Yeah. What we do is we declare that we did it. We fixed Star Wars. You're welcome.
Yeah. I loved the visuals. I thought it was the movie. The visuals were great. Individual moments, individual scenes. There were some really, really fun moments in there. You know, some moments that made me want to pull my hair out, like Chewie finally getting a medal because Lucas screwed up, you know, but other things I thought were really fun. As long as I didn't ask, why are we here? What happened? What's going on? You know, this whole movie reminds me of the scene in Force Awakens where Finn asks Han Solo, well, explain to me again why we're here as they walk into Maz Kanata's castle, you know. Well, you see, plot point, reasons, 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 you know. But there were some beautiful things in this movie. Visually, it was amazing.
In summation, what?
It's been what?
Join me next time on the Chef Palpatine podcast, where my guest will be Elon Musk.
Remember, you can place your first 3 bets for free, one with mybookie.com. Pass enter code Palpy.
It's been after.
The Diamond Club hopes you have enjoyed this program.